The speech from the throne will take place at 10 a.m. this morning in the House of Assembly, officially opening the first session of the 50th General Assembly. Lieutenant Governor Judy Foote will deliver the speech, setting the tone for government's direction over the next year. The last speech from the throne was delivered in 2019, long before we were concerned about COVID-19. Kelly Bladuc is an associate professor of political science at Memorial University. He joins the VOCM Morning Show to delve into what we can expect this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. What can we expect to hear from Lieutenant Governor Judy Foote this morning?
Well, I'll just say first, I mean, I think it's a bit of an odd period for a few reasons. On one hand, we sort of have had the premier, talking about this being a significant time, claiming the government has a mandate to get to work. And he's kind of, on one hand, suggested change is going to be significant, that they're going to do big things. He's also kind of said we won't see major changes this year. Of course, we still don't have anything from the premier's economic recovery team. We're now, middle of April. Nothing yet has come of all of that. And the premier said that's going to play a major role in economic policy. Although, I mean, I guess during the election, he also downplayed whether that would occur. So I feel like we have these mixed messages of everybody should just, get ready for big change, and everybody should also not be worried because nothing's going to change. So, how do you square those things and predict what we might see today? I mean, it's a throne speech, and sometimes these are significant, but I would actually expect what we'll see will be mostly fluff. I don't doubt there will be statements in it about commitments that sound good. I expect we'll hear things regarding gender equality, which I think is a good thing and an important thing. I don't know that what we'll hear will be major commitments. I think it'll simply be, mentioning these sorts of things. I think that we'll see some smaller commitments, the sorts of things that we saw during the election, which really was very little. I expect we'll hear about growth in the economy. I bet we'll hear about recovery from the pandemic. But we just had an election in which there was very little in terms of policy, very little interest in talking about policy. I would be surprised if the speech did a lot more because it would seem odd that the Liberals had actual plans and this would be the first time we'd hear about them.
We know it's a tough road, but how big is the job ahead of Premier Fury?
Well, again, I mean, we're still in a pandemic. We know that we're moving through the pandemic. We do sort of anticipate that by the summer, perhaps it won't be playing much of a role. So I think that's always kind of, front and center in terms of anything else. But we do have a province that we know is in fiscal dire straits. We know that we have basically had to ask the federal government for help. We need to find a way to not do that anymore. And so, this goes back to the Premier's economic recovery team. If it's going to be from economic changes from that, we've also seen alternative proposals of other things that the government could be doing instead. We saw this during the election, a group of academics and organizations that got together and said, hey, why don't we try this? I mean, I think that there are probably some significant changes that have to happen. I don't feel I'm the best person to propose what those specific changes are, but I think what we can say is that things as they are currently are not working. And so to really change course, to do that after an election in which there was questions about legitimacy, I think that's a much bigger job. It's not just the fact that we actually have to find some policies that work, that get us out of these problems. It's also that we're probably going to be kind of questioning, other parties are going to be questioning, some citizens are going to be questioning whether the government really should be doing anything big when it doesn't appear that they have a mandate to do so.
Right. And speaking of legitimacy concerns, the NDP have brought forward two separate court challenges, one for a recount to take place in St. John's East Kittyvitty and another to just throw out the results and do it over again. Your reaction to these applications?
It's not really clear why Elections NL would fight this recount and drag this out. It seems in the circumstances the best thing to do would be just to conduct the recount. In a case like this where, there's a lot of questions, there's a high proportion of people questioning legitimacy, I don't see how Elections NL trying to avoid something that would lend legitimacy is helpful to anyone. So I find that odd. I think it's weird that's being taking as long as it is. I don't know why Elections NL is taking the approach that they are. I think more generally on challenging, I think it makes sense. I think that there are avenues to overturn those results, and that's what the NDP would like to see happen. We've also seen, two PC members come forward as well to try to do the same thing. Now, these are not the party in this case. These are candidates who are basically having to fight this on their own. Yeah, I'd say, you know, in the short term, the idea of a recount, that's the only real thing holding up St. John's East Kitty Vitty. Once that's completed, and if John Abbott is actually the winner based on a recount, he can take his seat, he can go and do things. But these other court cases will take longer. But I don't think they're easily dismissed. There is a precedent for overturning elections based on just variation in the number of improper votes compared to the actual win margins. And if those win margins aren't very big, and the number of improper votes or people who were improperly not permitted to vote, if those amounts are larger than the win margin, then precedent would suggest those results should be overturned. So we may actually see some districts overturned from all of this.
You did mention now Cabinet Minister John Abbott there. What issues does this present now for him?
Yeah, sorry. So he is the winner in St. John's East Kittyvitty. And it makes sense that while there's an application for a recount, he would sort of not take his seat. That doesn't need to drag out as long as this court case, the actual challenge of the election. He doesn't need to sort of wait that out. Nobody needs to wait that out. All we really need to do is have a decision that the count is correct. And while there's an application for a recount, we don't know for certain that's the case, but typically that would happen relatively quickly. Again, I don't understand why Elections NL wants to drag this out. You know, we're going to hear from the court again on this in almost a month. Well, I just don't see the value in that. I don't see why they're holding out on this. But once that's complete, and on the assumption that Abbott is actually the winner from a recount, he can take his seat and he can do his job. There's nothing holding him back from that. There would be no legal questions as to whether or not he should do that. But, of course, we would still have this ongoing limbo of there are still court challenges ongoing. And at this point, it looks like there's as many as three seats that will be that the courts will be looking at.
Now, hypothetically, let's just say months down the road, the election is actually overturned and it's a RICO. What would happen with any legislation passed during this period?
Well, first, I'll just clarify that if we have overturned, I mean, I know the NDP has said that they intend to sort of challenge the whole election, but quite frankly, if they're only bringing one district forward, they're not really challenging the whole election. They
certainly
would be unsuccessful in doing that. So what we're more likely to see is single seats overturned. It's unlikely we're going to see the whole election overturned unless more challenges come forward. But so in that circumstance, any legislation that is passed while we have vote results will be perfectly fine and perfectly valid. The legislature may have people in it that didn't properly win the election, but for the time being, we do recognize them as having legally won the election. So legislation that is passed will be perfectly fine. The bigger question gets into, I guess, a political question. Do we look at that legislation that was passed during that time as legitimate? Should the government have been passing things that now we look at and say, oh, they passed them with votes that they shouldn't have been using? I mean, this comes back to kind of my proposal about all this, that the government lay a little bit low here. I realize that's not what Andrew Furey wants to do. I understand why he's taking the approach he is. But it's quite possible we will see a circumstance where people who voted to have certain laws put into place will ultimately be determined to not have been legitimately elected. And if that's the case, and if those are, you know, the number of votes that these laws would have kind of depended upon, I think that does actually cause a problem politically. But if we're talking about it legally, there's no real legal issue there. Those laws would be considered valid. They'd be considered legitimate for voters, for people looking at how elections work, for looking at whether the government was making good decisions. I think that's where you do actually see some problems. But again, they don't invalidate legislation.
So, Professor Bladup, more than fair to say that still lots to unfold here with this scenario over the next month or so.
Yeah, I would say for sure. I mean, especially because the majority here is so thin. If we were to see two seats, it's perfectly reasonable with the vote margins we're seeing. It's perfectly reasonable to think Jim Lester could have that election overturned. It's entirely possible Sheila Fitzgerald would see that election overturned. It depends on how many irregularities there actually are. But in those cases, yeah, we could definitely see a situation in which we go from a majority government to a minority government. It may be a while before that happens, and it may not happen at all. But if it does, that's something that's still on the radar screen and something that should be a consideration.
Kelly Bladup, Associate Professor of Political Science at Memorial University. Thanks for this and making sense of all of it.
All right. Take care.